You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
And I think and I ponder about ways to help you do that and to be in your life for good. I want to make a difference. I don't want to just make a mark, but I want to make a difference. And by making a difference, that means I need to help make a difference in your lives as your pastor. And so I want to come along beside you and not only shepherd you and care for you, but even challenge you and push you to that place of an unshakable conviction based on God's truth, God's word, that you and I need to grow and that Life Church needs to grow, and that God never intended for us to stop growing. That is the heart of God. That is the intent of God, is that His kingdom will grow. That His kingdom will continue. And that we are in this thing together. We do this all together as His church. And we do it with other churches. And we all are in this together. And so I want to give you three things here this morning quickly that I hope will help convince us that our church must never stop growing. All right? We have to be on this thing. And here's reason number one, and I believe maybe is one of the most important things, is this, and that is, we cannot stop growing because God loves people. God loves people. All right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And there's other scriptures I can give you here, but I want you, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. You know, we're always thinking earthly and not spiritually about things, and we kind of don't always get how God is and all of that. We don't get a good sense and a good picture of God. He is patient with you. And this is the revelation of His heart here. All right? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God, out of His love, has provided salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's the underlying foundational message to all of this stuff that we do. All right? Is this love that God has for people. And we sort of kind of draw that in and make it smaller, I think, than what it should be. And we get it down to where we're living in such a way that we say, God loves a part of the world. God loves the church. Oh, no. No, 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 no. God loved the world. He gave. And so we've got to like stretch that thing back out, all right, and get it way bigger so that we're seeing properly here that the Lord, our God, has such a great love for people. And because of that, He has instituted this church. Because of that, He has put in us understanding and revelation. Because of that, He has given us the tools that we need, prayer and anointing. And calling and gifting and truth so that we can go out and share with the lost. And that is our mandate. That is our call. Not just to sit in here, but to really get out there and really be in the world. Not to be all like the world. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating that. I'm saying be in the world in the sense that we understand our call. We understand the mandate to go and to be there. And you know what? To get comfortable there. I think, if I look at the life of Jesus, I think Jesus was so comfortable in the world. I think Jesus loved sinners. I think He absolutely loved them. I think He loved prostitutes. I think He loved thieves. He didn't have anything they could steal. It was pretty easy. Yeah. No, he loved everybody. It didn't matter. There was just, when someone crossed the path, their life, the fact that they were alive and breathing, it pulled up love. What gets pulled up when you cross the path of unbelievers? What gets pulled up when you walk through this neighborhood? What gets pulled up when you drive by Munchies? I'm sorry. There's a fast food kind of store right where is it? It's over. Is that right? Am I pointing right? Yeah. It's on 11th right over there, and there's a little strip mall right by it, and lots of people hang out there. Drive by it. Drive by it. Sometime when you're in town, you're up, it's late, you're just hanging out, you don't know what to do with yourself. Just drive by. Just drive. Take from the church here down 11th Street and drive by. Take a friend along. But drive by. And look at each other, you and your friend, and say, what's pulling up in you right now? What are you feeling? What's going on inside of you? Take a good look, all right, first. Look around you. Look. I'm not talking about look at the buildings. I'm not talking about look at the streets. I'm talking about look at the people. Look at the people. Because see what we do? Our eyes will go right by people. Our eyes will go around people. Our eyes will go under people or over people. We have a unique ability to look around the most valuable asset on earth, the greatest treasure to the heart of God. We will look around it. We will miss it and just look, because we've become very keen at doing that. Behold the harvest. Look at the harvest. It's ripe. And then pray. And then pray. See, if we do start to look at the harvest, we start to cry out to God, but not out of compassion, not out of something that is evoked in us that draws us into this thing with God. But it's like, oh my goodness, God. We despair at the probability that this person could never be saved, or things like that. Or we just live in a place of doubt or unbelief. God loves people. And He's mandated that we live that love out in our experience. The second thing, we have to be growing. We have to keep growing, because God commands us to reach out. God commands us to get beyond ourselves. God commands us to move beyond closed in social whatever kinds of places. I got a letter from one of the country clubs this last week saying you can become a social member. That's not a full member. It costs a lot more to be a full member. But I can become a social member. And so if I pay a certain amount of money, and I can't remember what it was, but it was more than a couple of $100. But if I pay this amount of money, I can become a social member, which means I can go and eat in the restaurant. And if I want to rent a room at the facility to hold a party, I could do that. I can have a social membership. Ain't no social club here. Mm-mm. Ain't gonna be either. Not if God has His way. This is not Bill's agenda. This is not Bill's deal. Okay? This is a God thing. God, I believe, is quickening us as His people. I believe God is trying to awaken us. I believe God is trying to shift us. I know He's doing it in me. And even some of the things I'm saying and praying to you, they're challenging me. And they have been for days and weeks now. But because God commands us to reach out, we have to. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. That's the NIV translation. Make them come in, all right? Now, I like a different translation than that, and it says, go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. I love anyone you find. No selective finding. All right? Just go out, take a street, and anybody you find, ask them to come on. Invite them in. All right? So you don't start driving down the street and go, maybe, okay, we'll try this one. No, anyone you find. Now, if you really want to be gung-ho, go after the one you like the least. I was listening to a series years ago. A lady was sharing about evangelism. And Joy Dawson is her name. Is she still alive? I'm not sure if she's still alive or not. But powerful woman of God on the mission field. And I've never known a person who had a greater like excitement and joy about sharing the gospel. And the most bold and unafraid woman I've ever met. And probably the mouthiest one too. Okay, just great. She was like everybody's grandma, spiritual grandma. You know, just Joy. Everybody knew who Joy Dawson was, and she just had this way about her. And she said, "It's all about fishing. You've got to go out and go fishing. You're called to be fishers of men, and go fishing." And she goes, "What will a fisherman tell you is a good catch? A big fish." She says, "Go after a big fish." She goes, "Now let me define what a big fish is. A big fish is a person of influence. Someone who is in some way really influential." And here's what I think. I think some of the most influential people when it comes to getting saved are the biggest sinners, the most public sinners, you know, the craziest sinners. You're on a college campus, find the biggest party animal on the campus and go after him or her. If they get saved, the whole campus is going to know about it shortly. You know? You want to mess with the religious people in the community? Get some really religious, pastoral kind of person saved. They're not. Some are. Some are not. Get somebody who will shed all that religion and just come clean with God. And man, it'll rock the churches in the community. Go after the biggest drunk, the toughest prostitute, the darkest drug addict. Or just go after that next door neighbor who's in denial. The guy down the street who's just so empty, he's so miserable. Or that little kid that just walks by every day and just has never been allowed a chance to come to church or go to Sunday school. Because you see, God loves the whole world. And it's not selective. Whoever you come across, on your job, at school, wherever, in the grocery store, I really won't mind. Now, I'm not talking about doing goofy things here now, but I really wouldn't mind if we were known as the church that people ran from. Oh, here comes those lifers again. Oh my goodness, they're going to witness to us, you know. It'd take quite a while to get that reputation. Quite a while. How about we just say, you know what? God has commanded me to go into the world and reach out. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out into my country, whatever that is, and I'm going to urge anyone I find to come in. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. In the message, it goes like this. I love this. Listen to this. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. You ever see those churches where you start driving into the parking lot and it says, "Welcome to whatever, Grace, Abundant Life, Total Fulfillment, Enrichment, Family Church, Cure All, Help You, Deliver You, Save You, Set You Free, Amen." You know, whatever kind it is, okay? All right? It's welcome, and you just, you go, yeah, that's, you know, great. And then when you turn around and you start to come out after the service, it says, and now, and now, welcome to your mission field. Whew. When you walk out of here today, may the Lord convict your heart that you have stepped squarely into your mission field and that you are called of God to grow right there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. He has lost connection with the head from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. All right, now here's the thing. The only way you're going to grow, the only way this church is going to grow, is that there is never a lost connection. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's never a disconnect from your mindset, your understanding, and God's heart. That God is constantly feeding in. God is constantly connected to you. He is the source. He is the impetus for what you are doing. You and I cannot afford a disconnect. We cannot afford a cut in our relationship with God. That's why Pastor Daniel has preached to you and charged you with intimacy and prayer and hearing God and those kinds of things, because we fully believe that that is where we have to be. Under the control of God, all right, under the control of Christ, the whole body is being nourished and it grows up, all right? It grows up into what God would have it to be. And that is the challenge that I want to bring to us, okay? And so because of that, that's the last thing, and that is this, is that growth is God's will. Growth is God's will. God intends for the kingdom of darkness to be pushed back. God intends for the kingdom of light to be established. Jesus said, this is the way you pray, the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. We are to grow this kingdom because that is the intent of God. All right, God loves people. God commands us to reach out and touch others, and growth is God's will. All right, so let's just wrap this thing up here, okay? Making a church, or making the decision for the church to be a church that grows, hinges on a number of things. One of them is the leadership. As your pastor, I am determined that we will make this church grow. Not in our own strength, but in the power and the Spirit of the living God. I am going to begin challenging us weekly in prayer. Because here's what I think you're going to have to do. And there's three places that I want us to fall here. And you may fall on all three. You may fall on two. You may fall on one. But you got to fall somewhere, guys, okay? All right? Some of you are going to commit to only one area, others to all three. That's not the issue today. I want to lay this out for you. First of all, if we're going to grow, we need to be prayers. We need to be the prayer of Christ. All right? We need to embody the mandate of God. And listen, you have Jesus in you. Christ is in you. Christ, the hope of glory. Paul says, I am dead, yet I live. Yet it is not me that is living, but it is Christ living through me. And I want to challenge you that you begin to be the prayers, those who are praying, all right? And understand that biblically that is what we were called to do. First of all, then, I urge you in petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving, we're called to pray. And so I want to challenge you that you pray. I asked Wendell and Susan to give you a handout. I'm going to ask you that this week you pray like never before for the lost. I'm just asking you that you just focus some prayer time. I'm not asking you that this be your only prayer or this be your only prayer time, but in your prayer time that you take this sheet and that you pray some of the aspects that I have listed on this sheet. All right? Because this will be praying for the lost. And one reason I did this is because I had several people, you know, who have said, well, you know, I struggle with praying for the lost. I struggle with knowing how to pray for lost people. I even struggle with knowing how to pray for my friends and family that I know are lost. All right? So this is taken from some prayer portions by Sylvia Gunther, a wonderful lady who is just really, really a praying woman and a prayer warrior. And I used some of her stuff and just put something together with a little bit of mine and came up with a simple sheet that you can use all week long. So I would ask you to please, please begin to pray. I think every one of us can fall on this one, all right? This point, we can all do. We can be prayers, all right? And I'm asking you that this week you be intentional about praying for the lost. All right, we're going to be more intentional about praying for the lost as we go along, but maybe a bit more definitive, praying for certain individuals or certain people along the way or certain situations and those kinds of things. But I really want to encourage you that you be a prayer, all right? And so here you have a little bit of a tool, trying to help you just to have a little bit of a tool here to do that. The second is you need to be a bringer, all right? And by that, I mean, I think it's pretty simple. You know, Andrew and Simon Peter's brother was one of the two who heard that John had said he'd follow Jesus, and so they bring him to Christ, you know, under the tree, and it was a wonderful thing, because what they did, they turned and they said, hey, we found the Messiah. It's a really beautiful little story there, all right? And maybe we need to look back at some of the disciples and their early beginnings and what they did, because we think of the disciples and we go right to, well, they were martyred and they had to preach, you know, in a very difficult climate, and there was such animosity and such hatred and bitterness and all of that, you know. And we think of but no, in the beginnings, as Jesus taught the disciples, like Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and John and such, they were going and sharing Christ. They were telling the story, and they were telling what God had done for them through Christ, how they met Jesus, what happened, and the desire to lay down everything and follow Him. They were telling their story. And guys, you got a story to tell. And I would challenge you that you would tell that story, and that you would not limit yourself as to who would be willing to hear that story. See, here's what the devil has done. The devil's told a lot of us that we don't have a voice anymore. The devil's taken that voice from us through different circumstances and pains and wounds of our own lives. I think you got a great story, every one of you. I think you got a beautiful story to tell. Any encounter with Jesus is a wonderful place. And so I would challenge you that you tell someone, but don't leave it there. Invite them in. I know we got a strange building. We're in a unique part of town. Is that word unique? What does that mean? But we're growing. Intentionally, we're growing. As of today, we're growing. Invite someone to come in. We're going to help you out. By the way, in a few days, there's probably going to be people working in this building and construction kinds of things going on and stuff. And hopefully in just a few days, all of you who are about to have babies or have little toddlers, you're going to have beautiful brand new carpet to let them crawl on in this building. We've got signs up. We're going to do other things. We're going to get you some good heating and air conditioning back here eventually. All right. We're going to do things in this building here for a season to make this building maybe a little bit more conducive to people coming in and being a part of things. Right? Why are we doing that? It's because it can be helpful. Because it's a way for us to say, hey, we want to welcome you in. We want to make it pleasant for you to come in. See, some of you, you're okay. You love Jesus, and you'll overlook the stains in the carpet, and you'll wear your jacket back here for a Sunday service, you know. But not every unbeliever will do that. And so we want to do a few things. We're doing it for you too.
But we're doing it so you can feel comfortable inviting your neighbors and your friends and your acquaintances and your strangers into this building. But before they ever get here, we want to know that you've prayed for them. Man, that you've really bathed it in prayer. Ed Silvoso says, before you talk to anybody about Jesus, talk to Jesus about them. Man, that's powerful. And I want to challenge every one of us that we start to put at least two or three names on the back of our sheet. Maybe even before you leave here today, I'm going to give you a chance at the end here to do that. But just that you got two or three names of people that God just lays on your heart. And these are people that you're going to talk to about Jesus. And the last thing is that you be tellers. Not like bank tellers, you know, with money, but tellers. That you start to tell the story of Jesus. That it becomes such an integral part of who you are, this message of the gospel. And that you can't get away from it, that it just becomes so natural to tell. You know, one of my favorite holiday songs that I've loved all of my life, I just got loud, is Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go Tell It on the Mountain. I used to sing that, drive my family crazy. You know, I used to bellow it out, you know, as a kid. Go tell it on the mountain. And then my voice changed and got low. I think I was about 20. And then it was like, I was bellowing out. I said, can't carry a tune, but boy, can I bellow it out. Just love that song. Go tell it on the mountain. And there's something in my imagery about this idea of like, and I wish I could paint a picture with words that would really help you to see it. But when I think about the freedom that comes with the gospel, you know, just that, I remember when I got free, you know, laying on that pavement in the middle of the night in a stupor of drugs and alcohol and hearing a voice say, get up. And getting up and crawling to the side of the road and just seconds later a semi-truck speeding by. Just knowing that God loved me so much that even in a rebellious stupor, His voice could come clearly through that. And He could move me by His power, by His Spirit, and by His Word. He could move me. Move me. Have we been saved so long that we forgot what it was like to be sinners? But believing that God can do that for anybody, knowing that He did it for me, and the feeling that when I left there, that spot, that place, and the next day realizing that something was different and then finding someone and praying and feeling the release from all of that I had carried. That freedom, that moment when it left, it's like I wanted to be like some Norwegian on the side of some Swiss Alp or something, you know, some Scandinavian person, you know, up on the mountain, you know. I wanted to be the Sound of Music. I wanted to be everything. I wanted to be on a peak somewhere, and I wanted to shout. I wanted to hear the echo. I am free. I am free. It's all gone. It's over. I don't have to carry that anymore. And you don't either. Go tell it on the mountain, some place where it'll carry, some place where it'll go out. And as I grew and began to understand God and got kind of fathered in a little church, I realized that, you know what? It's the Spirit. It goes. It carries. It goes out by the Spirit. That message is anointed and you have it. You have it. We're going to grow. Never, never, never stop growing. Never stop telling. Never stop sharing. Never stop preaching this message. Let's stand. You've got your little sheet of paper. You just want to turn it over to the blank back side. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Have your pen ready, maybe? God, in the name of Jesus, right now, would you speak names into the hearts of your people? Just speak names right now, God, clearly. One, two, three. There may be more, but three. Three. Write them down. Just write them down. Who are three people that God is putting it on your heart right now that in the days ahead you're going to talk to? First, you're going to pray. And then you're going to look for an opportunity. You're going to be a teller. And if they're willing, you're going to be a bringer. You're going to bring them in. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Quick count around the room, and there's probably close to 60 people standing here in this room right now. I may have missed one or two, but three. 60, 180 people. 180 people. That we have the potential in the next few days to touch 180 lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And what if they all go out and touch somebody? Or what if God gives them three? Could be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's pray. God, I love you. I want to be a part of this. I want to catch this thing. I want to be a part of how you move among us. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you even for the feeling of inadequacy that forces me to fall on you and depend upon you and seek you. Thank you, God, for the boldness that is going to come and the courage that is going to come. Thank you for the resilience to bounce back from moments that feel like personal rejection and the revelation and the understanding that indeed those who reject truth or rejecting you. And thank you for the compassion to stick with them, to care about them, and to keep coming back. And thank you for the harvest that perseverance will bring. Holy Spirit, move in this church. Just settle over us. Just pour down on us power and authority. God, we claim your word today that says we have been given power to become witnesses in the earth. Let that power now begin to manifest in our lives. God, I pray for preparation now over the next coming weeks and months, that between now and the first of the year, you prepare us, that through diligent preparation, we will be ready. When this year changes and we step into a new year, we will become evangelistic as a church. Even now, begin to give us fruits of that promise and of that declaration. And may you get glory in every moment, every testimony, every time that we celebrate birth and rebirth, God. You get the glory and you get the honor. Make this a church of of continual celebrations and baptisms and rejoicings because of God. You are moving among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, step into your mission field. Be blessed in Jesus' name. We love being your pastors. Have a great week.